Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I am joined today in studio by Jack Freiberg. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Mary.
And on the phone lines, I'm kind of insulted. We've had this appointment standing for over a year, but these lawyers, they think they should take paying clients before the freebie that is given away on the Mary Griffith Show. So, Chuck Schultz, are you there, or do I have to pay you to hear you?
I am sorry you have to put up with Jack Freiberg all by yourself.
Without you here as a guardrail, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, I forgot to tell Jack to put his headphones on, so we can insult him now for at least 2 minutes. He's fumbling to find his headphones. But Chuck Schultz is here.
He's retired, but I'm still working for a living, and I got Jack working for us on the bicentennial.
That's right. Jack is a very vital part of the bicentennial, as are you, as is Natalie Henning, because she's some of the young blood that's coming up.
Natalie has been great. The folks at the Monument Company have been tremendous. And that's one of the things I wanted to mention this morning. You know, our theme is educate, celebrate, commemorate. And Jack is head of educate, and he can fill you in. You know, we have this timeline from 1825 to 2025, and we put it on a ruler. We're going to hand it to every school kid in Adams County, public, private, homeschool, whatever. But what's more exciting, and Jack can explain, is we want to develop a teacher guide, so there's something to elaborate each of the points on the timeline. But Jill Reese, our awesome regional superintendent of schools, has come up with a PowerPoint to bring all those historical events to life with video and so forth. So that's really going to be cool. That's educate, celebrate. You know, we've kicked it off. We're in the bicentennial now. So we had our big bash, and that was a sellout and a great success. And we've got some really fun things. It's all going to culminate out at the fairgrounds on September 6th, and that'll be something like probably never has occurred in the 200-year history of Adams County. But I wanted to mention the third area is commemorate. And we're getting ready to start to put up some of the markers that will commemorate historic events in the history of Quincy and Adams County. And right across the street from you, Mary, that southwest corner of Washington Park, will be petitioning the Park District to put up a monument there that will commemorate the five sitting United States presidents who made official visits to Quincy during the course of our 200 years. So Rutherford B. Hayes, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. And all of them were pretty close to Washington Park. McKinley spoke in the park, and she remembered President Clinton was basically in the middle of Main Street, but speaking to people in the park. Obama was over at the Civic Center. Teddy Roosevelt was in front of the courthouse. And we had the old Tremont Hotel was where Rutherford B. Hayes was. That's WGM today. So that's really exciting. We think people will be very interested in that. We've also had, you know, a number of great presidents who came here before they were president. First and foremost, Lincoln. But FDR was here when he ran for vice president in 1920. And, of course, right where you're standing, John F. Kennedy was in that building. And we'll be memorializing that as well. So it's all real exciting. We didn't get Jimmy Carter in there. That was a little controversial. You know, I'm a Carter guy. I was Carter delegate in 1980. I went to his inauguration in 1976. And actually went to Sunday school with Jimmy Carter one time. My wife and I on our way back from vacation. That was wonderful. But I don't consider it a visit. He came by Quincy on the Delta Queen. The only stop was had to be because they had to go through the lock. And that was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So he didn't make a speech. He didn't come and visit us in that sense. I greatly admire the man, but we're not including him on the.
He was a boat by.
He was a boat by. Yeah.
As opposed to a flyby, he was a boat by.
And Gore and Lieberman, in their campaign. By. They actually stepped. They got off the boat though. I did cover that down on the riverfront. But we have had, like you said, these commemorative placards are going to go up all over Adams County, commemorating things that have happened. And it's going to start with the five sitting presidents who made visits to Quincy. And there's going to be several other commemorative plaques put up around.
Right. You know, this is Black History Month, Mary, and we're going to have one for the Illinois Colored 29th, the only black soldiers from Illinois in the Civil War who were mustered at Bethel AME Church at 10th and Oak. Also, Blessing is going to put one up on their power plant, which was Lincoln School, African-American school here. We're going to have one for where St. Mary Hospital was, and we have Mountain County as well. Maplewood School in Camp Point, which was where you went and stayed during the week if you wanted to further your education past your one-room schoolhouse in eighth grade. And some great scholars, Alan Nevins, one of the greatest historians in American history, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, he went to Maplewood School in Camp Point. So did William Gray, who developed the reading method of See, Dick, Run, Run, Dick, Run. He was from Coatesburg. So we're going to be educating, celebrating, and commemorating, and we're up and running now. We've raised the money. We're getting ready to execute the game plan because we are now in our bicentennial year.
Well, it just sounds fantastic, Chuck, and thank you for all your hard work, and I know you do, as you are still working, have a client you must meet with, so we're going to let you go. But
thanks,
if
Mayor.
Anybody needs information, it's adamsco200.org, right?
Absolutely. Check
okay.
us out.
Well, thank
we
you.
We want everybody to participate. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you. Go make,
thanks, Chuck.
Go make your $700 an hour or whatever ridiculous fee you're charging now while Freiberg and I toil away here for nothing at the Radio Ranch. Jack Freiberg, we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about today. So do you want to throw something out there?
Well, let's talk about the weather and its impact on the local mayoral election.
Aha! I think that sounds like a great idea. I mean, the early voting, it may have suppressed that. But, of course, next week on Tuesday, it's going to be fantastic. So we've got a Democratic primary in the 7th Ward, and then everything else is a Republican primary. And do you think there will be a big turnout since we have a mayor's race this year?
I don't think the turnout will be very large. First of all, I think that this weather would have kept a lot of people from early voting, you know, because I don't know exactly how much lower than this average temperature has been this month than the average February, but I would guess it's at least 10 or 15 degrees. And I would think that impact in general would keep people indoors and, you know, and they would not early vote. So I would guess that is going to be very light.
They can do it tomorrow now.
But they can do it tomorrow now. And Ryan did a good job of announcing that. But it's still a situation that, in general, I think the turnout is going to be pretty light on this primary.
Well, let me ask you this then. You know, it's so puzzling to me because the closer you get to politics, whether it's your alderman, your school board, your park board, your mayor, I mean, these are people who really impact your life. I'm not saying that what Donald Trump is doing today doesn't impact me, but he is not going to have the impact on me that who the mayor of Quincy is going to have on me. So why is turnout light?
I think that's one of the ironies of American politics, in that the turnout is always highest on presidential elections and lowest when we just have local elections. And I don't understand why that is, but that dilemma has always existed.
The fact that we have contention right now in the Republican Party, there is definitely a schism. You can see this even in our aldermanic races, that there are primaries that are contested. Incumbents usually, you know, don't have too much pushback from members of their own party, but there certainly is pushback this year in the Republican Party, and one Democrat, too, has some pushback. So how do you define that? Being the scholar that you are of local politics.
I don't know how much of a scholar I am, but I certainly follow them. And, you know, when you have these, for instance, in the 3rd Ward where I live, there's 4 people in the Republican primary, which I think is frankly unheard of. I don't ever remember anything four people running for an aldermanic spot before. And so that is, you know, because that will be split so much, I think that's anybody's race there, because you just don't know. The people, obviously the guy that gets his individual people out is going to have the greatest chance, but that's unusual.
150 people could decide who that alderman is.
Absolutely.
And so when you think about that, that person is going to have an equal vote in our city government, and 150 people will decide that person is.
It's going to be get your people out in the third ward. There's no doubt.
Is it good for political parties when there's a schism sometimes? Because it does get everybody, I never thought about who my precinct committee chairman was, or, I never thought about who put up signs. I never thought about who organized door-to-door knocking. Does it help in the long run to energize a party? Even though there's a schism now, does it help in the long run to energize a party?
Well, you know, I think it makes everybody work more. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if you're working in the primary, I think you're also going to be working when you actually are elected to that office, because it shows that you've got a work ethic to win in the first place. Because I've had a couple of people knock on my door, which sometimes that happens, but the majority of elections, it does not. But it certainly did this year.
Okay. So in general, we may see more engagement from those who want to influence city government, but the general population seems to be very lackadaisical, almost.
And I'll be very interested to see what the overall turnout is in this primary.
Okay. Jack Freiberg, my only guest this morning now on the Mary Griffith Show. And gosh, we've got open phone lines, and Jack knows a lot about a lot. So if you want to talk about anything, I mean, he could probably tell you how to catch a possum. I know he can do a beaver. He can talk about politics. He's a man about town and available. You know, if you want to send in your resume, ladies. He's a world traveler. So we could talk about a lot of things. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, if you call 223-9300 or 1-800-228-WTAD, you can ask Jack Freiberg a question. It's Question Jack Day. Don't we question Jack every day? We do. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we've had a caller who's waited patiently through those commercial breaks to get on the air. Caller, good morning. You are on the air with Jack Freiberg on the Mary Griffith Show. What's on your mind today?
This is for Jack and Chuck. I watched that about the 200th anniversary of Adams County. And when they flash the presidents over there, they leave out Joe. How come they had left him out and everything? He was after Obama. They put the felon on there, the last. So how come that happened?
Okay, are you saying why did they leave Joe Biden off of a visit to Quincy?
Yeah, I watched that when they advertised the 200th anniversary.
Okay, stay on the line. Listen to Jack's answer. Did Joe Biden ever visit Quincy? No, that's weird. It has nothing to do with who they like politically.
No,
you have to come here.
It's all about the history of who's either come here as a candidate or a vice president, but particularly we're emphasizing the sitting presidents that visited while they were in their term. And Mr. Biden, President Biden, has never been here or has never campaigned here.
Yeah.
And that's why that's why he was not included.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
thanks a lot.
Well, does that make sense to you, sir? We're only honoring people who have come here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Folks, let's try not to make the Adams County Bicentennial a political statement. You either visited here or you didn't. By the way, I threw up on John F. Kennedy when he visited here. He wasn't president yet. I only threw up on him when he was a senator. My mother said, kiss my baby, and I just let loose on his nice Brooks Brothers suit.
And that's another Mary Griffith trait that you did not know about.
That I have a picture, not of me actually throwing up on him, but I have a picture of course, me with him. So I have some prominence. What's that called? Provenance for that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Mary and I visited Poland this past May.
Because we were talking, and your phone calls are welcome, folks. 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Jack and I were in Poland together, and the more you travel, Becky Kosin says it best, the travel is the thing you spend you can spend money on, but you never use it up because it's a memory for a lifetime. Talk a little bit about how that helps shape your understanding of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine.
Well, see, we were in southern Poland, which is a gateway into Ukraine, and it's also they are also a NATO member, so they are obviously our allies. And one of the questions that I asked, because at that time Congress had just approved another $65 billion to support the Ukrainians in the war against Russia, and we had a tour guide that was going around that spoke very good English and had a pretty good international sense, and I asked him, okay, we just approved this $65 billion. How is all this military apparatus, armament, et cetera, getting to the Ukraine? And he looked at me all wide-eyed, threw his hands up in the air, and he says, we don't know. It's a mystery. Well, I know that we have troops in that general area now.
The Illinois National Guard has a close relationship with Poland. They train there regularly. You know, each state kind of National Guard picks a NATO country, and we're paired with Poland.
And anyway, I suspicion a lot of this is coming through Poland. But his example just shows that the rank and file, average Joe on the street, really has no sense whatsoever as to how that armament is getting into Ukraine.
But while we were there, Jack, you and I both asked several people, are you worried? And there is worry because Poland has been invaded and taken over so many times. Not the least, the last ones they kicked out were Russia. And I think they're all a little bit feeling precarious.
And see, my individual family, my great-great-grandfather was from Warsaw. And at that time, because Poland has been occupied by Germany, by Russia, by Finland, by a whole bunch of different countries, by going back into, you know, around 1100 A.D., they were occupied by the Mongols. So they have been occupied many, many times. But going back to my great-great-grandfather, he was part of a Polish revolt against the Russians at that time who had occupied it. The Russians put it down, and our guide in Warsaw talked about this very thing, and he said, the rich Poles all left and went to Paris. The poor Poles all went to America.
So we knew the Freibergs were poor when they were in Poland because they got to America. One thing, and this just brings to mind a question. And please, folks, your questions are what we want to hear, not my questions. So 223-9300, any topic Jack can talk about. It doesn't have to be Poland. But one thing that's just fascinating, we talk about Elon Musk, you know, saving money. Now, granted, whoever the commander-in-chief is sets the tone, and that commander-in-chief is duly elected by the American people. So the last commander-in-chief was Joe Biden. He was all in on let's defend Ukraine. Our now commander-in-chief is Trump. He's all in on let's give it back to Russia. So all the money that we spent defending Ukraine, in a sense, is wasted money. Because now the United States is not helping at all for Ukraine to defend itself. And in fact, the exact opposite is going to happen. I'm not asking you to comment on which is better. I'm just saying the ridiculousness of it, that in one election in a democracy, we can go from spending billions of dollars defending Ukraine to spending zippity-ding-dong defending Ukraine. And
I would vary a little bit on what you're what you characterize Trump. I think Trump is trying to negotiate some kind of peace in order for us to stop making those $65 billion distributions to Ukraine. Now, I also think that if he's going to negotiate this, he's going to depend on Ukraine to give a lot more than Russia is in order to make, get this peace done. For instance, Crimea, which was taken over by the Russians, I don't remember exactly how long ago, but three or 4 years ago.
Yeah, recently. But maybe within the last 10 years, yeah, for sure.
But anyway, I'm guessing that Crimea is going to be Russian for sure, just based on the, you know, the overall feel for things, because it's obviously been Russian ever since they've invaded 3 or 4 years ago. The question ultimately, I think, is what other kind of concessions are the Ukrainians going to have to make in order to bring this? Because I think that, that the war is unpopular, obviously, in Ukraine, but I also think it's unpopular in Russia now, because the promises that Putin made, that this was going to be a, you know, a non-event, that all of these Ukrainians were just going to fold up and say, we're happy to be Russians again, was obviously a terrible misread. I also don't think that he expected all of the Western resources to come in there and support them, because I don't think if they had the Western support that they would have been able to hold Russia off as far as they had.
Oh, no, Ukraine would be rolled over just like Poland was rolled over by the Nazis. And I'm not trying to make any kind of comparison there. I'm just talking about a war effort. I mean, there are, you know, countries. I mean, look at Argentina took over the Falkland Islands by landing one boat and raising a flag. I mean, there was no opposition to that because they just got on the phone and called back to London and said, we've got a little problem here. We realize it's going to take 4 months to get a big cruiser down here, but when you get around to it, come and liberate us. This is a little bit different, you know, scenario and situation. And I guess that's one of the things that's great about America. We elect our leaders, and then we elect policies that
our
leaders...
But we take so much for granted. In other words, you know, us just being able to travel over there. And you see the contrast, because most of our lives we've been able to live a fairly healthy standard of living. You know, we go through different periods, but, you know, for instance, when we went through the museum in Gdansk and they had the average room set up of a Polish family that was there in the 1950s and the 1960s when it was part of the Soviet Union.
Right.
You described that, Mary.
Well, I mean, if you were lucky, you had a radio. You had no television, that's for darn sure. You had the sparsest of furniture, and it was very Spartan, and it was very small. And so, you know, the kids might sleep on a trundle bed that pulled out underneath. You had a small little bureau for the meager belongings you had.
Because the rooms, I'm guessing, were no more than 500 or 600 square feet. Right. And you were lucky if you had really three rooms. Was an expansive place. And see, our society is so, the liberty in it is such that you can live in anything you want as long as you can pay the bills to support it. Those people that were in the USSR, they had no choices. They were given this, and their diet was, you know, potato soup, it looked like, almost all of the time, kind of thing, or something very similar to that.
Well, it certainly was fascinating to me when we went to Gdansk how there again the people underestimated that worker movement and how mighty it would become. So you can never tell. When they marched off to the Civil War in the United States, the guys from, you know, Alabama, et cetera, said, don't worry, we'll be back in 2 weeks. There's no way blood is going to be shed over something this trivial. Well, we all know that it took a long time to end that conflict. It took a long time to end Vietnam. I don't even know that Afghanistan and that is ever going to be over, even though it's over for us. These things take a long time. No matter what the U.S. position is, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Mary Griffith, Jack Freiberg's position on Ukraine, we're not there, and we're not going to shoulder a weapon. And so at some point in time, if people do not or cannot fight for their own rights and values, you could throw up your hands and say, well, what the heck am I supposed to do about it then?
Yeah, we our liberty and our life, we are so blessed. And every time you go overseas and spend any time, spend a week or so overseas, you get to see what their history is. And many times their history is eye-opening.
Even their today can be eye-opening. Some of these countries are still struggling. You know, Portugal, where I've been, it's just barely above third world. And until it joined the European Union, it didn't have roadway systems, anything like that.
Because our infrastructure here is absolutely world class. There's no doubt about it.
I don't want to say, well, the roads in Quincy are better than in 90% of the, you know, European, so I don't want to, you know, like, so we should be happy with that. But you talk about potholes. I mean, we drove on roads where the whole bus could have been swallowed up, you know, and when we got off of a main road. So you get over there and you find out how good we have it in the United States. But of course, we want our standard of living to be the highest, so we shouldn't accept anything but the best.
And yes, they had traffic issues in Poland, too, in the larger cities.
Absolutely. It doesn't go away. We're going to take a break, head up to the URSA Farmers Cooperative. Folks, this is your chance to talk about hunting, fishing, politics, history, travel. Jack's been everywhere. Call up and ask him about some of his adventures. We'll be right back. First, we'll hear from the URSA Farmers Cooperative. Well, it always happens the last 10 minutes. Now the phone lines are all lit. Everybody wants to talk to Jack Freiberg, and you're first up, sir. Thank you for calling, or ma'am. I don't know who's on the line. Good morning. You're on the Mary Griffith Show with Jack Freiberg. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that I enjoy Jack and Chuck being on. They always learn something about the history of Quincy. This doesn't have anything to do with history. I live at the 1600 block of College, and a city crew came in here two weeks ago and cut down every tree in the right of way between 16th and 17th. And there was a couple of good old huge oak trees that were just beautiful, and there was an elm tree or ash tree that had to go because of the beetle, and then another couple of trees. And I just wondered if we have any, as a property owner, do we have any choice?
Okay, well, let me try to answer a question. First of all, are you absolutely sure it was the city of Quincy, or could it have been a utility company?
No, it had the city emblem on the truck.
Okay, so it was the city of Quincy. Of course, nor Jack would know why they did that. However, there must be some reason, but I would call the city central services. They're the ones that cut down the trees.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But I thought, well, maybe... you guys weren't getting any callers. I thought, well, that's
nope.
Said any subject, so I thought I'd just call.
Well, no, that's good.
Let me talk about specifically about a couple of diseases. Obviously, you're aware of the beetle and the ash, but there's also an oak disease that's pretty prevalent around here now called oak wilt.
And, oh, really?
Yes, and I'm not certain, obviously, that those trees were impacted by oak wilt. But if you go in a heavy oak forest today, you'll see it. You can see patches where the trees have all died or what have you. Particularly if you put a drone up or you take some kind of satellite photo from that, you can see where the disease is because that section of the forest will have lesser density of trees. So
I see.
I'm not saying that's what happened there, but I'm saying that could be.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, that may not answer your question, but I'm going to give everybody that's listening a little word of advice. The city of Quincy is 300 trees behind on trees that it has marked to cut down. So if you're concerned, if you're concerned about a tree being cut down in front of your house that you don't want to be cut down, I would call your alderman right now and say, or call Central Services right now and say, unless there's something with a disease or a problem, I want to be notified if that tree in front of XXX, 1600 College or whatever, is going to be cut down. Because trust me, they didn't just go out last week and say, we got plenty of time on our hands, let's go cut down trees, because they are so far behind on cutting down trees that they probably planned to cut that tree down a year ago. So I'm just telling you. But thank you so much for your call. We've got other callers. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Good. Callers, in the very last minutes of the Mary Griffith Show, you are on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
I had a question for Jack. My understanding, he's a trapper at one point in time or has some experience in that. And just curious what your opinion is on how to get rid of moles. What do you do for that? You got any tips in the yard?
Well,
get rid of moles. I love it.
I'm telling you, my good friend Bobby Collins does that. Bobby's approach to this is he sets a lot of traps out, and he keeps coming out and keeps looking at what kind of new sign and what have you. Now, you know, moles travel. You know, they might be in your yard now, but they might be out of there and a few hundred yards away here in the not too distant future. So, you know, usually it's a question of setting traps, because you can then see that you've got the animal. It's a lot easier to do that than poison, which is much more indefinite kind of thing to do.
Okay.
But I would call Bobby Collins if that's a real big problem for you. Because he has tons of mole traps and what have you to do that. And, you know, if it's a question of saving your garden, I would use him. And again, he's not free, because he's got to put time and effort into this. But I'm telling you, moles is one of the things he deals with very frequently.
Okay.
Well, all right, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Great. They were obviously in their car or somewhere. Yeah, Bobby Collins, now a friend of the Mary Griffith Show. He's been a guest talking about how he traps and hunts and kills all sorts of vermin and things you can make a coat out of and all kinds of stuff. Jack and I were talking before we came on the air. Your phone call's still welcome. Time for one more. 223-9300. They have this big feed out in Pennsylvania. They're trying to get people to eat different kinds of food. They had stingray. They had squirrel. They had bear. They had teriyaki coyote on a stick.
One friend of mine locally says she never goes into a carry-in dinner in a town of less than 1,000 people, because you don't know what'll be in the crock pot.
Well, that's Burgoo. Come on, all that good stuff.
Have you been to the Burgoo Festival?
I have been to the Burgoo Festival. It's been many, many years, but that was always something fun to go to. And again, back in the day, everybody ate raccoon, everybody ate possum, everybody ate squirrel. Now people turn their nose up at
that. Well, my good friend Allie Limonstall, when he was growing up prior to World War II, used to tell me stories about how he would take his shotgun on his hand, his 4-ton shotgun on his handlebars, and we rode his bike to school. And then on the way home, on empty lots, he would go ahead and shoot some rabbits and put them in the basket on his bicycle and bring them home, and they would have them for dinner. You know, something that's hardly imaginable today, but I think was relatively common back in the 1930s.
We've got another phone caller. Thank you. You're the last one up, probably. What's on your mind for Jack Freiberg?
No, I was just going to say, he's talking about people going to Maplewood High School and stuff like that. A graduate of Liberty High School with neighbor Robert Dole, he was a Clipper pilot in the 30s, and he got involved in the OSS, and then in the CIA, and during the Vietnam War, he ran the Air America for the CIA in Cambodia and Laos.
Do we know about this?
Has his story been written, or has he written about his story?
I don't know. I saw... Okay, my grandmother kept a lot of newspaper clippings. I'm getting some of my information from that. But in 1985, this guy died, and his obituary was in Time magazine. And of course, the byline said Liberty, Illinois, but Liberty, Illinois doesn't make Time magazine very often.
Sure.
And the article in the Time magazine said that he ran the Air America campaign for the CIA during the Vietnam War.
Well, I think that, that we as a community, meaning Adams County or, and Liberty both, ought to know more about his story. And I think that would be interesting if we found out more about that.
You know, it's not too late. I mean, probably would have been better a year ago for Liberty to have come forward with this great native son of Liberty. But I would encourage you to go to adamsco200.org and try to get somebody to tell that story. They've collected them at libraries. A library in Liberty would be a good place to start, or Quincy Public Library if that's more convenient. Bring in whatever you have and get somebody to work on that, because we're putting up these placards all over Adams County. We don't want to leave somebody out.
I saw Chuck Schultz, and I told him about it, and it just went in one ear and out the other.
Well, honey, you can't just meet somebody on the street and expect them to be your personal courier. You can't expect to call the Mary Kay Show. I got news for you. I'm not doing anything with this. It's up to you. The ball's in your court.
Yeah,
if you want this guy to be...
He certainly has an interesting story, and it's a story that should be told.
Okay, we got to go. We're out of time. Thank you.
Okay, take care.